Welcome back to Restoring the Republic. It's Sunday, March 11th, 2007, and we're live on the air here Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Central Time. We're going to have Walter Burian is going to be our guest this hour. He's going to be talking about the comprehensive annual financial reports. And right before we went to this last break, I was on the air with Randall. He's one of our friends here in Central Texas, and we were talking about being active in the political realm at your state level, city level, county level. And one of the things that we did here back in the election of 2006 is one of the candidates that was pretty like-minded was David Van Os. And David Van Os ran for attorney general, and he didn't win. But to give you an idea how our dollars go much further than their dollars, we had David Van Os that only had about $156,000 for a statewide campaign for attorney general running up against Greg Abbott, who spent $4 million. $4 million spent by Greg Abbott and $156,000 spent by David Van Os. And Greg Abbott did win. He got 60% of the vote, but Van Os nonetheless did get 40% of the vote. But look at the level of spending difference between the two candidates. Our candidates are never going to be that well-funded. They're never going to be taking the millions of dollars. They're not going to do Rudy Giuliani deals with Macquarie and selling out for tens of millions of dollars and then claiming that they can be objective when they talk about these issues, Trans-Texas Corridor, et cetera. So did get a message that Walter will be a few minutes late to the interview, so that will give us an opportunity to take more calls, 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. One of the things that I wanted to do last week, and I didn't get to, I wasn't able to do it, we had Deborah Stevens on talking about the grand juries and how we could fight to get the grand juries going to see about fighting 9/11 issues and to get some 9/11 justice and to get some 9/11 truth out. So we didn't get to talk necessarily about the comments that were given at the March 1st testimony at the Senate hearing, the Senate public hearing that John Corona had, where people were where the public was invited to come down and speak out about against the Trans-Texas Corridor and speak out about toll roads and speak out about these different issues. But two of the big questions that popped up and constantly pop up about the issues here in Texas are how do we finance our roads and how do we alleviate the traffic congestion on I-35 that's just got some horrendous traffic, especially here through Central Texas, because it's just bumper to bumper many times in Central Texas through the Austin area and others. And I remember in 1994, 1995, I was actually at that time driving 18-wheelers, and I had a load of hardware coming down here to some of the at that time Payless Cashway stores here in Austin. And it was on Thanksgiving Eve that I was supposed to deliver to, I think, three or four different locations here in Austin on Thanksgiving Eve. And I left Dallas-Fort Worth area probably about 6 or 7 hours early to get down to Austin to deliver on Thanksgiving Eve. And I just remember that on Thanksgiving Eve that day, it was practically bumper-to-bumper traffic all the way from Fort Worth to Austin. And as a matter of fact, the traffic was so severe all the way from Fort Worth to Austin that literally at every on-ramp where traffic was trying to enter onto I-35 southbound, it would just pretty much grind traffic down to a halt. So that they would even be able to allow traffic onto the road. So it was just amazing how much traffic that I-35 had on. That was in 1995. Now, I learned since then is be real careful on what hours you choose to drive, especially on these big holidays when everybody crams onto I-35. But I-35 does need to be addressed here in Austin. It's a terrible bottleneck. The commute times here in Austin are tied for, I believe, 13th worst annual hours of delay per traveler, annual hours of delay per traveler, and that's according to the Texas Transportation Institute report from 2005, I believe. And the metropolitan area here in Austin was 1.4 million here in Austin. It ranks 38th largest metropolitan area, but is in the 13th place for worst annual hours of delay per traveler here in Austin, Texas. So you're listening to Restoring the Republic on republicbroadcast.org. We'll be right back after this break.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420 and see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420 or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Welcome back to Restoring the Republic. We're live on the air on Sunday evening, just after 7 o'clock here at Central Time in Texas, broadcasting out of Round Rock, Texas, same place where the same broadcast studio that John Stadtmiller uses during the week. We're just north of Austin here, and personally, I live in South Austin. I've got my little command center down there in my office and the computer. Need to set up a studio down there one day to be able to do a program from down there and have another South Austin command center down there. But one of the stories I want to talk about is I want to go back to toll road issues here in just a second. But on Saturday, just yesterday, in the American Statesman, they had a headline on the front page that the FBI director admits that the Patriot Act has been misused. And this has been a concern all along with regard to the Patriot Act, is we've been concerned about the misuse of the Patriot Act ever since its inception, right, just post 9/11. If you'll remember, it was about an 800-page piece of legislation that most of our legislators obviously didn't take time and effort to read. They probably wouldn't have had a chance to even read it anyway, but there were very few that opposed it, and Ron Paul was one of the state representatives that did oppose the Patriot Act. But nonetheless, we've always suspected and believed that the Patriot Act would be used for regular, hardworking Americans that are interested in the Constitution. And so they've admitted to it now. Robert Mueller, FBI Director Robert Mueller, has admitted it, and hopefully we'll see some implemented changes coming into that. Hopefully we'll see U.S. reps and U.S. senators to fight to get this repealed. It is a Fifth Amendment violating act. It violates many different Bill of Rights amendments that we just need to get them back. If we don't start using our rights, we're going to lose them, folks. So we need to work hard to keep from losing them. And I'd like to see more states like Montana take the bull by the horns. You folks in Montana and other small states, I'm sure that you can have a huge effect with 30 or 40 folks at the state capitol in those states. Then you can have a huge effect. And I'd love to hear reports on what's going on in some of the smaller states with the political activism, because we can make a difference there. Okay, well, going back to the toll road issue is if you write down, hopefully you got your pencil and paper handy, but I do have a blog that talks about these toll roads, and I need to create a URL that's more an easier URL to remember to direct folks to it, and I'll do that when I have an opportunity. But if you write down tollsworsethantaxes.blogspot.com, tollsworsethantaxes.blogspot.com, and what I've done is they did take written testimony here in the state of Texas about the Trans-Texas Corridor and toll road issues. And so what I did is I put up my written testimony that I submitted to the Transportation and Homeland Security Committee here in the state of Texas, and basically kind of broke it down into four parts, with one being the introduction, talk about the almost 30 years of driving experience I've had here in the state of Texas and the 48 states and Canada as well. And I worked that out, and it works out to about 120 years of experience that an average Texas driver would have here in Texas. They drive average about 15,000 miles a year. So it works out to about 120 years worth of experience. But the thing of it is that this is 10 years of it was over the road. So I've had an opportunity to study the way the highways work all over the United States. And anyway, I've got it broken down into four different areas. Introduction, part one, is why toll roads are a poor answer to reducing congestion. Part two is possible solutions to I-35 traffic congestion without the Trans-Texas Corridor and or without other toll roads. Part three are solutions and suggestions on how to fund new roads and improvements. And basically, there's a variety of reasons why toll roads are a poor answer to reducing congestion. First of all, a common characteristic of toll roads is that they have ultra-limited access, and the crossovers and or cross-unders that are too far apart, thereby creating the perfect storm for bottlenecks at each and every intersection on the highway. If you take a look at Chicago, there's an urban toll road called I-294. It's the Tri-State Thruway, I believe is what it's called there, I-294 in Chicago area. There's insufficient local access, both ingress and egress, so it unnecessarily reduces the utility of the road to the local traffic, and thereby primarily serving regional and through traffic. The road is then underutilized by local traffic, not just because of the toll aspect, but also because of the shortage of the access. In the future, even if the tolls are removed, the lack of access will still hamper traffic, especially the local short-distance travelers. And on top of that, since the access is too limited and the crossing is insufficient, local traffic has to travel greater distances on secondary arterials unnecessarily just to get to the on-ramps or off-ramps. So then you take a look at Orlando, Florida, which almost all of the limited access highways in Orlando, Florida are toll roads. So if we're to believe that toll roads are the answer to congestion, then Orlando must be one of the least congested cities in the country, you would think, right? Well, that's wrong. So in fact, Orlando, Florida ranks as the 28th largest metropolitan area per 2004 census. That's the 28th largest metropolitan area in the U.S., but according to the Texas Transportation Institute study called the 2005 Urban Mobility Report, Orlando ranks disproportionately high, tied at 9th worst in annual hours delay per traveler with 55 hours. So it's tied 9th worst, and one of the communities that it's tied for 9th worst with happens to be the Orange County Riverside area, where that SR-91, the managed lane toll road that's one of the first in the nation, it happens to be tied with ninth worst with Orange County, Riverside County in California. So meanwhile, let's look at a place where they don't have near the problems with their traffic than most other cities, and one of them is Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland, Ohio is the 23rd largest metropolitan area per the 2004 census, but it ranks 73rd in annual hours of delay per traveler with only 10 hours per year. So there it is, 23rd largest metropolitan area and ranked 73rd. you know, we keep getting told that, well, there's no way to build out of congestion, but somehow Cleveland up in Ohio has done it. And as a matter of fact, Cleveland, actually, there aren't any toll roads that go through Cleveland, but there's one that's not too far away, and that's the notorious Interstate 80, also known as the Ohio Turnpike. Now, that Ohio Turnpike, many of the trucks that go through Ohio avoid it and dodge it like the plague. And as a matter of fact, I personally did this myself, is I would go through Cleveland as a bypass to the Ohio Turnpike. So I can't tell you how many times I did it over my career, over 10 years of being over the road, that I actually would go through Cleveland, Ohio, and use routes like US 20 and State Highway 2 up there to go across northern Ohio to avoid the Ohio Turnpike. And so Cleveland actually has more traffic directed in through it, into it, because of the people that are shunpiking the Ohio Turnpike. So that's another addition and burden onto Cleveland, Ohio, is the fact that people are dodging the turnpike. And as a matter of fact, one of the examples of how people are dodging the turnpike is that US 20 is just one of several alternate routes to the Ohio Turnpike. US 20 has three times the number of traffic. US 20 has three times the number of trucks per hour than are on the Ohio Turnpike. So that's just one alternate route, US 20, three times the number of trucks per hour that are on the Ohio Turnpike. And there are four or five other alternates to the Ohio Turnpike. So I've just been advised that our guest is coming on the air, Walter Burian of CAFR1.com. Walter Burian of CAFR1.com. Many of the folks in our audience, I'm sure, are familiar with his work. But without further ado, let's go ahead and bring up Walter and get him going on talking about the comprehensive annual financial reports. Hello, Walter.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Just came back from a state auction out in Arizona.
What type of auction were you attending today?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. I had to go down. There was about once every 5 years, all of those safety deposit boxes, which go unclaimed, they turn over to the state, and the state auctions off all of the contents of those safety deposit boxes. I can't figure out how they can't track down owners of safety deposit boxes, but in some way, shape, or form, the state then auctions them off. I bid on one item only. Bought a piece of paper. Original land deed, 1848, for 80 acres in Ohio along the canal.
Oh, wow. So you might own some prime property, maybe.
Well, the original land deed signed by the governor and secretary of state.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting that they would sell, like you said, these or auction off these safety deposit boxes because, like you said, how can they not track these people down? I know that you have to give all kinds of information whenever you take out
or the heirs of the estate, you know, whatever, but they do it.
Well, that's amazing. So that's kind of like a lot of the life insurance policies that go unclaimed and things like that. I've noticed on some of these where you fill out the best beneficiary line that they just have, like, basically just a name, and they won't go all these details, name, address, phone numbers.
They don't go out of the way to contact people.
No, it's amazing.
That's why there's a few $1 billion of unclaimed funds sitting in unclaimed property.
Wow. Well, that's like here in Texas. They come out every year, though. They do have a big newspaper insert that they put out from the state comptroller's office with all the people and names that are holding or that the state is holding their unclaimed property here in the state of Texas. So they do that every year, at least here in Texas. I don't know how effective it is. They've got millions, but they do have billions of dollars, I think, actually, or millions of dollars, and they do have thousands of names on those lists every year.
Well, I figure the original land deed for 80 acres signed by original signature by the governor and the secretary of state at its antiquities value, and if that property is sitting there non-transferred from the original deed, then I will have to file my notice of sale and transfer of deed.
Well, like I said, as far as antiquities, it definitely has some value on that. Well, going on to the issue about the CAFR, what is the latest news that we have going on talking about the comprehensive annual financial reports? What's the latest going on with that issue?
Well, first thing we want to do for the listeners that have not heard about this issue before, let's qualify what CAFR, C-A-F-R, is. It stands for Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Just as much as a public corporation puts out an annual financial report each year.
Walter, I'm sorry to interrupt. We're running into this break real quick, but we'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes, and we'll follow up with Walter on the CAFRs. Right.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Welcome back to Restoring the Republic. I'm your host, Richard Reeves. We're on the air with Walter Burian of CAFR1.com. And right before we went to the break, Walter was given a quick rundown on exactly what comprehensive annual financial reports are. So, Walter, if you'll continue with that, go ahead.
All righty. Just like a public corporation puts out an annual financial report that every shareholder, you know, whether you own one share or 10 million, it's required by SEC law to get a copy of their annual financial report, which shows, you know, the decades of wealth that have been building up, the subsidiary corporations of the main parent corporation, the investment assets of the corporation, and it'll also show their balance sheet for the year, profit and loss statement. Now, what government did was, back in 1946, a group of private individuals under the acronym GFOA, Government Financial Officers Association, located in Chicago, they started promoting the annual financial reporting accounting structure to government to go from a pay-as-you-go, you know, budgetary operation to a corporate for-profit enterprise. One of the first large entities to produce one was Manhattan in 1951. Come the 70s, over 50% of all local governments were producing comprehensive annual financial reports. All of the large entities were producing. And at the request of GFOA in 1977, the feds mandated that all local governments had to produce a comprehensive annual financial report, or in the alternative, lose federal funding. They wanted to consolidate accounting for all local governments in the country. Now, the issue regarding the comprehensive annual finance report, what was presented to the public for the last 65 years was selectively created budget reports. And a budget report is showing what you're planning on allocating for the year and what you're planning on spending for the year for a selected grouping of accounts. The public were getting these budget reports and thinking that is what government was. This is the whole pie. And that was as untrue as you can get. The annual finance report showed the cumulative wealth, the investment assets that we're building, and the gross income of government. When you looked at a annual financial report of a large entity and broke down the gross income, it was pretty obvious that only one-third of the gross income was tax income. Now, the public would have thought that almost 100% of government's income was tax income. That was a fallacy come the year 2000.
That's exactly what I believed for many years.
And that's what I believed also until I came across this back in 1990. So the majority of the cities, states, and so forth, their gross income, as I mentioned, one-third was tax income. Two-thirds was the return on their investment funds, enterprise and venture projects. When I say enterprise projects, tollways, bridges, golf courses, you know, the whole gamut. They're now even getting into sports arenas, state universities.
Well, I know some of the numbers you had. Some of the numbers you had from on your website about the revenue numbers in the late 90s was that government's gross income was $3.4 trillion tax income, but $5.1 trillion non-tax income, like you said, about...
For 1998.
Right.
1998. And the entire population of this country, their gross income was $8.2 trillion. That's salaries, wages, investment income, the whole nine yards. And if you look at the taxation, federal was $1.8 trillion, local was $1.6, giving local and federal $3.4 trillion in tax income. So let's take that right off the top of the $8.2 trillion that the entire population of the country was making. That gave the population of the United States net income after taxation of $4.8 trillion. So here you had government grossing $3.4 trillion in tax income, $5.1 trillion in non-tax income, or $8.5 trillion, close to double what the entire population of the country is bringing in. Public didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue until I looked. And I had to say to myself, how come there was no mention, no peep of the comprehensive annual financial report? I used to be a commodity trading advisor, one of the first tenants of the World Trade Center, did a national news line on commodities, basically silver and U.S. Treasury bonds. Never heard of it before. I called the mailroom when I found out about this, the Department of Treasury in New Jersey, where I was living at the time, to find out who was in on this little secret. And I thought it was a very small list. I then found out the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report was sent to the editors of all the papers up and down the East Coast. It was sent to the CEO and all of the directors for ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN. And you could have seen the steam starting to come off me because I was instantly realizing this was the largest cooperative effort for non-disclosure I'd ever seen, period. There's no equal. Yeah, the comparable equation to government holding back their annual financial report and promoting selectively created budget reports would be like the Catholic Church. You know, if you ask the priest for a copy of the Bible and he said, Bible, what's that? Yeah, the Comprehensive Annual Finance Report is the holy grail of accounting. It's what the taxpayers have been going over with a fine-tooth comb, you know, for the last 60 years. It was not mentioned, not talked about, not discussed due to the factor of, I'll call them the boys within government, saw the opportunity to turn into a for-profit enterprise and to do so where they could generate hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars outside of the public view. They continue to promote their budget reports and never a peep, never a mention of the comprehensive annual finance report. So if the public did not know the extent of the growth and expansion within government, the public could not say anything or have any impact. And to do so over the last 65 years, hold back their annual finance report without a peep to the public, they needed the full cooperation of the syndicated media, controlled education, and both political parties.
so, Walter, this ended up being an interesting adventure for you to find out about the level of control they had with the media. All right, we're going to pick up the story with Walter Burian. We're going to go to break here for just 2 or 3 minutes. You're listening to republicbroadcasting.org, and we'll be right back with Walter after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Welcome back to Restoring the Republic. We've got our special guest on the air with us, Walter Burian. And one of the key reasons I've had Walter come on today is because here in the state of Texas, we are having these big issues about transportation problems that we've got in the state, and they keep telling us that they've run out of money to fund these projects, that they've run out of money to fund roads, to build new roads, etc. So, Walter, before the break, you were telling about how you discovered that the media, in fact, is controlled, and the rabbit trail that you followed was concerning these comprehensive annual financial reports. Can you continue with that?
Okay, well, to repeat myself on one point, to hold back your annual financial report and promote selectively created budget reports for public consumption. If a public corporation did the exact same thing, just gave their budget report, which may show a loss for the year, and held back their annual financial report, which would show substantial profits, from investments and other operations, and did so to their shareholders based on SEC law, you'd have about a 40-count indictment by the SEC, and every one of the directors that were involved with that would be sitting in San Quentin after being prosecuted and indicted. Here we have the entire government of the country operating under the exact same principle, and they're doing what is totally illegal for any other public corporation to do. So, due to the money involved, which we're talking trillions of dollars, the charade continued, okay, of building, you know, up most of the profit centers under the annual finance report and just showing the budget report to the public, so they're only looking at one-third of the gross income. If you look at a budget report, it looks like 100% is tax income, 100% of the tax income is spent, okay? And the government figured, well, that's the only responsibility they had to the public was where tax income was spent. And that's why the tax income was exclusively shown on the budget report. Now, when you look at the annual financial report, you'll show the tax income, plus you'll show the investment income, plus you'll show the enterprise income, which now is two-thirds of the gross income. So, to be able to pull off holding back your annual financial report from the entire nation for 65 years, it required the full cooperation of the syndicated media, controlled education, and both political parties. Now, the syndicated education, your school district puts out an annual financial report, comprehensive annual financial report. The state universities put out a comprehensive annual financial report. If you look at ASU's comprehensive annual financial report from a couple years ago, they had $11 billion of investment funds, you know, basically from the annuities and so forth granted to the university. The students wouldn't have a clue on that. The city school districts, you may see them crying, shortfall of budgetary money, shortfall of budgetary money, we can't buy pencils. You look at their annual financial report, you'll see they may have $35-45 million invested with the local government investment pool, generating $7 or $8 million.
That's right.
You know, so the game was absolute for non-disclosure. So it required the full participation of the syndicated media. The editors of all the papers were sent out to CEOs and directors from ABC, CBS, NBC, were sent copies each and every year. The only one who was excluded from disclosure was the entire population of the United States. And, you know, when I first started with National Disclosure, I did about 350 radio programs in a short period of time, broke the ice. Thousands of people have asked their representatives, congressmen, senators, mayors, city council to link, put up their comprehensive annual finance report for downloading on their website or in their newsletter, and you mention it to the public. All have refused. The ones that were running for office that put up the annual financial report as an issue immediately blackballed and run into the ground. There was a woman from South Carolina, Reb Sutherland. She ran for governor of North Carolina, and they painted her as being a witch, you know, riding a broomstick. You know?
Wow, so they'll just about take any measure to keep anybody from running for office on this issue.
That's going to break the ice on the biggest game in town, which is the aspect that they're only showing one-third of their cash gross receipts through their budget reports and holding back two-thirds of the cash gross receipts in their annual financial report. So the public has been treated as, total idiots in plain language by the upper echelon. The states and cities and counties are constantly saying, oh, we have a shortfall of budgetary revenue and we have to raise taxes. And to make it a little clearer on a personal level, say, for example, you made $100,000 a year and your budget for operating your house was $30,000 a year. Well, you're applying $30,000 and you're spending $30,000. You could audit your budget for your house 100 times over and account for every nickel, dime, and penny. If you spent $31,000 this year, you'd have a $1,000 deficit under your budget. If you spent $29,000, you'd have a $1,000 surplus on your budget. Well, you know, if you're just mentioning your $30,000 budget, you know, and people are just looking at that, and you can say, for example, you spent $35,000, it would show a $5,000 budget shortfall. Yeah, would you go knocking on your neighbor's door saying, hey, John, I spent $35,000 on my budget this year. I only had $30,000 allocated. Can I borrow $5,000? No, you'd pull from your $100,000 salary. And forget your $100,000 salary. Let's say you've been investing for 30 years and you have $2.4 million in your investment fund. And say, for example, you started three enterprise operations, side little companies, which are generating $200,000 a year. Just to talk about your $30,000 budget for operating your house, it would be ludicrous and very misrepresentative, you know, regarding your annual financial report, which would show your $100,000 income, your $2.5 million investment funds, your three other venture and enterprise operations, which are generating, you know, $200,000-$300,000 a year. Government has been doing this now for 65 years. It has allowed them to take over the investment markets, the insurance industry through investment. Government now owns and controls everything. When I started looking at the annual financial reports, New Jersey's, and I noticed they had about $88 billion in common stock ownership just on the state level. It dawned on me what is composite government's ownership of the Fortune 500 companies. I started looking at individual companies, Xerox. Xerox, 87% owned by composite government investment funds. Microsoft Corporation, which I spotlight on the front of my website, when you add up the institutional funds of composite government ownership, approximately 83% of Microsoft is owned by composite government investment funds. The majority of the Fortune 500 companies owned by composite government pension funds, and investment funds.
So to a large degree, then, you have the melding of government with corporate entities, and
you had the takeover of all of the corporate entities by government, not just domestically but internationally. Back in the 80s, Mexico was targeted. If you remember when the peso went down through the floor and the Mexican government was crying, "Oh my God, we're gonna free fall collapse." The United States government came in saying, "Well, we'll bail you out with $50 billion if you repay us in crude oil at $10 a barrel." So we locked them into $50 billion at $10 a barrel in repayment. Then we got them for another $30 billion, a total of $80 billion. And it didn't matter if crude went to $40 a barrel, they still had to pay us back at $10 a barrel. Then the U.S. composite government investment funds, federal and local government, sank about $360 billion into the Mexican economy for the different stock company acquisitions, bond issues, loans to these companies. And during that time period, the U.S. government investment funds were reaping, 120, 130. It wasn't unheard of to get a 240% return for the year on the monies. As the peso rebounded, they made a profit on the currency exchange rate and taking advantage of the cheap labor. The next target group was the Soviet bloc countries in the 90s when Gorbachev went democratic. And by the way, Gorbachev probably looked at those 8 figures and said, "Hell, the boys in the United States have more control than we do, and they're making 10 times as much. We better go democratic. They have a better blueprint for communism,
right?
And so, ownership.
So now we can have them over at the Presidio over there in San Francisco, enjoying the fruits of that labor. Then,
well, when you look around your city and you see these shopping malls and townhome complexes, I used to think, "Oh, democracy at work." After I started looking through the annual financial reports, Shopping Mall A, owned by the County of Maricopa. Shopping Mall B, owned by the City of Mesa. Town Home Complex C, owned by the Town of Tempe. The majority of these complexes, shopping malls and everything else, are owned by the different government entities through their investments. Insurance, when you pay your insurance premium, almost half of the principal goes back, the payment goes back to government to satisfy their investment return with the insurance companies. When you buy a mortgage, you get a mortgage from a private bank, Citicorp, Chase, Manhattan, you think you're borrowing private sector funds? No. The majority is government investment funds at this point in time. Most people are familiar with VA, Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, federal, loan guarantees on mortgages. But all the local governments invest with the private banks. Billions and billions of dollars, credit card divisions, mortgage divisions, and it's actually their money you're borrowing. They're getting the return. Public didn't have a clue because the public never heard about the comprehensive annual finance report. Total blackout on the mentioning of it, so they never knew to look. If you do a search on Google now, just punch in CAFR altogether, no spaces, CAFR, you'll get 1.6 million hits. You can put in CAFR in your city, CAFR in your school district, and you may just have it available for downloading off the Internet. When I first started with National Disclosure, June 8th of 98, right before then, I did a search on Google. I got 19 obscure hits. So blackout at that time was rather effective and on their side, and since then, I've been rather effective on breaking the blackout.
Yes, sir, you have.
Now people know to look, but there's still 100% blackout from the syndicated news media and controlled education.
Right, I know. And that example that you gave, when you type in CAFR and then hit news, then you have a serious reduction in results.
That's right.
There. What are those results currently?
Or when you put in CAFR news, you get about 6 hits.
Right. And yeah, I've tried that personally.
That's got to be the biggest disparity in Google's entire data bank.
Absolutely. It's
1.6 million hits on CAFR, 6 hits on news. That's because the syndicated news media was included in non-disclosure for the last 60 years so that they would not mention a peep regarding the annual financial report or the difference between the cash gross receipts and the budgetary basis. You know, but you have the syndicated news media firmly, suckling to the tits of the cow, the bloated cow, the very fat cow.
Right.
And there's so many pockets being greased and so many people, with their hands in the pocket, it's not funny. And when I first started with National Disclosure, everyone said, well, who's getting the money, Walter? Are they taking the money from what account? What account's it in? I said, this is the principle of operation across the board. And it's not who's taking the money directly. It's where is that money invested? If you and I wanted to build a townhome complex, 1,200-unit, Sydney, Australia, on the beach, we could incorporate a New Zealand corporation, calling it New Zealand Coastal Properties, Inc., list our two accountants as the CEO and treasurer. We could approach one of these fund managers, that have a self-insurance fund, pension fund, bond repayment account, whatever, and cut a deal to have $55-60 million invested in our project, which is going to generate us maybe $7 or $8 million a year, and we'll give $4 million back to the fund. Deals like that are cut 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So everyone is getting, their pockets greased. The corporations. Any one corporation, government can come in, buy up all the stock in that corporation, be 90% owner. They could then funnel budgetary monies into that corporation, causing the stock to go right through the roof.
Absolutely.
So they could use the public's funds to, say, buy their product, maybe 20% over what it should be selling for, run the competition out of the, out of the ballpark, and create their own profit on their own holdings by doing so. So government funds now can take over any industry group, any corporation. If there was any CEO who decided to be ethical on the aspect of, this is not right, this is not what the founders of our country wanted to see happen in this country, I'm going to disclose the difference between the annual financial report and the budget reports. And,
so would that be in fact
him, and they could target him and run him into the ground in a year.
Right. So would that be in fact one of the reasons CEO pay is so high, because they got to make sure that these guys are pretty much on point with the game?
It's a free for all. It's not just being on point for the game, because most are on point for the game. None are going to stick their necks out and find themselves getting their butts kicked out in the back alley and what it on, and lose everything they worked for the last 10 years by rocking the boat. So there is 100% silence. The people that are listening to your show, try to get one of your elected officials to list the annual financial report for your city, county, and state and school district on their website or in their newsletter. Tell him, I'll look into it. That's a good idea. I'm going to have to do that to do nothing. I mean, they will stroke you along till the cows come home.
Right.
Because they know the aspect of silence is golden. If you read on my website, CAFR1.com, CAFR1.com, there's an article that says silence is golden. Read that article. And read a few of the other articles. You'll start. You'll get one of the biggest wake-up calls of your life.
Right, it's amazing.
After the name of the game.
And another question that I've got for you, though, is if you could articulate and describe how that this also has been, the CAFRs have been a source of money that have been actually forcing industry overseas.
Oh, okay. Let's go down to the very basics. If government owns the majority of these corporations, their sole interest now is to see the highest profit to inflate the the ledger balances of their books. So they have been promoting to the Fortune 500 companies, well, start your operations over in India, Pakistan, Thailand, Russia, where you can take advantage of the cheap labor and there's not as much regulatory and operating cost expenses, and thus they did, and thus their profits went right through the roof, and thus the number one holder of their stock, government, started reaping the whirlwind. China, same thing. You know, we have the balance of trade. You look at Walmart, and every item made in China, made in China, made in China. Well, U.S. government investment funds had sank about $1.5 trillion, the $2 trillion into the Chinese economy on their different corporations and ventures. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, China was getting very concerned about that, and they cut off any further investments by U.S. companies in China, on the Chinese stock market. And what they were doing there was U.S. government was taking over the Chinese marketplace and becoming the controlling interested party. And China did not want the U.S. government funds controlling their economy. So they announced they're going to, hold them back a little bit. India is doing the exact same thing. You know, the word's starting to circulate, and people are starting to wake up to the reality of what's been taking place, which is the U.S. composite government fund's been taking over the whole bowl of wax around the world and the globe. Now, Saddam Hussein and Afghanistan, Iraq, the arrogance factor of these guys, as I mentioned, the whole back annual finance report and promote selectively created budget report is a phenomenal feat to pull off, and they did it due to the money involved. And they're now arrogantly taking over one country after another, Afghanistan, Iraq, and they're now targeting Iran.
Well, Walter, I'll tell you what, it's amazing how deep this scam goes. We're going to be coming into our last segment when we come back from the break with Mike from Maryland with a question for Walter. Stand by. We'll be right back.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Welcome back to Restoring the Republic. This is our last segment. We're going to go to Mike here in just a second. But first, I want to thank Walter for coming on and talking about this issue. And I wouldn't underestimate the fact that we are here broadcasting on FM here out of Austin. And this program is being heard at the state capitol. And who knows what ears it may fall upon to help expose this giant scam. All right, let's bring up Mike from Maryland. And Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am. A fascinating guest, a fascinating topic. The implications of what this gentleman is talking about is enormous. I mean, what you're talking about here is stealth fascism, aren't you?
Put it this way, about 2000, I briefed a retired federal auditor. He was commander of auditing of the Air Force, CIA-trained, FBI-trained, special investigations for 15 years, then commander of auditing for the 8 Southern Western States for his last 15 years. He was aware of the comprehensive annual financial reports, but he never thought about the composite totals and the growth and the takeover aspect of government. I briefed him. 3 months later, he called me back and he goes, "Walter, what we have in this country is 100% communism under the guise of a free market capitalist system. The government owns and controls everything." I challenged him to put up a website. He put up kafirman.com, kafirman.com. And he did reviews of certain state CAFRs, giving the breakdowns on the potential surpluses that were sitting there. Yeah, he identified close to $1 trillion on the state level. And he was
from Arizona. Mr. Klatt?
Yes, correct. He died, by the way, in July 14th of 2004 on his birthday. And you'll see his reviews stop in 2003, so he couldn't continue them from the grave. But, you know, you did an excellent service for the public by putting those up there because your parties will not do Republican, Democrat. No, it's a total blackout, not to mention.
Sure.
You know, and he did.
Well,
you want to challenge your elected officials to make simple mention. If you went up to your priest at the Catholic Church and say, "Do you think you can mention the Bible?" And
yeah.
Say, yeah, sure. We put it on our pews for everyone to read. Well, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report is the Holy Grail of the Bible of government accounting, and there is no reason whatsoever they shouldn't highlight it on their websites, on their newsletters, for the public to dissect with a fine-tooth comb. But the whole game they've been playing is silence is golden. You know, if a tree fell in the forest, no one heard it fall, did it actually fall?
Sure.
They've been laughing their asses off to the bank ever since.
Sure. Well, let me ask you then, if this continues to its ultimate, you know, if this goes to, you know, to the furthest extent possible, what is the ultimate conclusion of this CAFR type of situation? What's the ultimate destiny of this country if this goes to its logical conclusion?
Well, it already has reached that point, and the key point now is for the public to get a wake up call real fast. You know, there are billions spent to masterfully entertain and distract the public.
Sure.
So they don't look. It's mandatory that they do look. And when you see that two-thirds of the gross receipts now are non-tax income, you know, any intelligent person can say, well, let's make it 100%. You can downsize government. You know, there's a massive growth within government. You can downsize government and phase out all taxation through a stroke of a pen and administrative action right now, today, at this time.
Well, okay. Well, then, who benefits in government? I mean, who's reaping the profits of this?
Let's go back to the 30s and Al Capone. You know, what he used to say is, what the hell are we doing fighting government? Let's become government. We'll take whatever the hell we want.
Sure.
Well, that came into play. You now, government has a definition of syndicated organized crime. They put up the pretense of some type of remedy in the courts and in law. Hey, there is none. You have the foxes writing the laws and enforcing the law and how many hens you can eat from the hen house. And
hey, Walter? Walter, I'm sorry to jump in here. Mike, thank you for the call there in Maryland.
Thank you.
Go check out Walter's website, CAFR1.com. We are about to wrap up the program. Walter, we've just touched the surface here, haven't we?
Yes, and I want your listeners to do us a favor. If they listen to this show, send me a quick email. You'll see my email address at the top of my site saying they heard the show.
Okay.
We'll see how many people got a wake-up call today.
All right, folks, do that. Send an email. Go to the website, CAFR1.com. Send an email to Walter. Walter, thank you so much for coming on. You're listening to Restoring the Republic. We'll be back next week. Thank you.
You got hit it?